Coming up on this week's 3 and Out.
Oh, he's going to be intercepted. Chris Harris shooting in the foot race.
Deja vu for the defense.
25-20, 15-10, touchdown, Denver.
Another big play to seal the deal. But DeMarcus Ware's injury means some young guys will need to step up.
Hey man, I'm proud of my defense, man. Everybody's playing hard. Everybody's trying to make a play.
On offense, the Broncos moved the ball, but had trouble finding the end zone from the red zone.
I think there are plays that we can correct and plays that we will continue to work on to make.
And after a big divisional road win, we'll take a look around the AFC West.
Jamal Charles. Uh-oh.
Coach, are you ready for 3 and Out?
You damn right I am, Frank.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for this week's 3 and Out. I'm Phil Milani. We have a great show on tap as the Broncos are 5-0 for the seventh time in franchise history. So let's get things started with First Down. It's time for First Down, and we're joined by Andrew Mason. And what better way to start than with the Broncos offense, Mace? They moved the ball in between the 20s. I mean, Peyton Manning had 266 yards of passing. But once they got into that red zone, they had trouble finding the end zone.
Yeah, and it's not just been a problem for that game, but over the course of the season. And the Broncos are ahead of only 8 teams in the number of points they score per red zone possession. And they bottomed out Sunday with only 6 of a possible 21 points in the red zone. And, you know, some of it I think is tied to what the Broncos are doing, or I should say not doing, on the ground. I mean, just look at the early in the third quarter. They get the ball at the 16-yard line after Von Miller strip sack, and then after a 12-yard pass to Demaryius Thomas, they have first and goal at the 4. 2 runs gain 2 yards, and that's really unacceptable. The run game is struggling, and in particular, it's struggling on the plays when you expect a run. First down, and then short yardage, like right there. And if the Broncos don't fix that, the red zone offense is not going to get any better because it's not going to be able to take any pressure off the pass game.
Yeah, after the game, Peyton Manning kind of talked about a couple of close chances there. One to Owen Daniels, one to Demaryius Thomas. They could have both been touchdowns, but they certainly know that they have some mistakes that they need to correct.
Starts with me, the offensive coach. We got to get better offensively. The sad thing is we do some good stuff and we don't finish anything, you know, and that's what's disappointing. So, and then everything keeps going back to 18, and that's not fair. You know, we got to get better running the football. We got to get better protecting him. And if we do those things, then we'll play better offensively. Obviously, we're very, very fortunate right now. I think we're playing hard, just not playing very good.
You know, we didn't do what we needed to do offensively. Didn't score enough points. Didn't take advantage of some of the red zone opportunities. You know, bad turnover down there before the half cost us some points. So, got to do a better job.
Just more practice, more film, more repetition. Just doing our job. Our guys is just doing our job. I feel like we done bought in. It's not easy as, you know, people think. It's just doing our job and getting better week in and week out.
Time for a second down, and the defense, just like clockwork, does it again, comes up with a big interception with Chris Harris Jr. And then the Broncos also have that pass rush going with all the sacks, 22 sacks so far this season, 14 takeaways, just the first team to do that in 17 years. But DeMarcus Ware, he had to be carted off the field there. How is that going to affect the Broncos moving forward?
Well, they'll lose some leadership, and they'll lose a key pass rusher with DeMarcus Ware not out there. But at the same time, this is why you cultivate depth among your edge rushers so you can withstand an injury like this. DeMarcus Ware going into his 11th season, he had to count on some kind of injury happening at some point. That's just the way it is for a guy that experienced. So that's why you develop Shaquille Barrett, and that's why you drafted Shane Ray in the first round. I mean, a lot of people thought, oh, that's not really a need because, you know, the Broncos have bigger needs at other positions, but you want that extra pass rush who can help out. And certainly Shane Ray played well, and Shaq Barrett really stepped up. He's in his second year, obviously, and he's developing very well. So the Broncos, even if they have to play this game without DeMarcus Ware, they can still rotate the 3 pass rushers they do have on the edge, keep them all fresh, and then see where they go from there.
Yeah, and we saw it against the Raiders when Ware had to go out. We saw Shaq Barrett get a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and also Shane Ray with his second sack of the season. So those young guys will definitely have to step up.
I mean, it's definitely a huge loss the way he's playing. He's playing at an elite, super elite level, and causing havoc every play. So we expect big things out of Shane and Shaq to be able to step up, and we feel like they can get the job done.
It means that Shaq and Shane will get some more opportunities to go out there and do their thing, and you know, Bonds is going to keep doing his thing. It just makes opportunity for people, and I think that's what Mr. Elway has done a great job of bringing depth to this team to where somebody goes down, somebody can just step up and play big. So just means Shane and young Shaq going to have some more opportunities.
We just have a lot of depth at all positions that can play really well when given opportunities. So it's just another thing for us. If a guy goes down, you got to be able to step up and make plays. And if the market's going down, I think me and Shaq are going to have to step up as expected and go in and make more plays.
It's great that we are able to do stuff like that. We got guys that's inside but has the speed and finesse to come outside, and then we have like us outside guys that can go inside and power, like you said. So just being able to switch it up just keeps the offensive line guessing and open up other pass rush moves for us.
Time for a third down now, and we bring in Ben Swanson. And after a big road divisional win, the Broncos 14th straight in the division, extending their NFL record, what better time then to kind of take a look around the rest of the AFC West, as the Broncos now have a 3-game lead over everyone else?
Well, right. I mean, the Broncos are 5-0. They're undefeated. They're going to have a big lead, but a lot of that has been kind of extenuated because the other teams are struggling a bit. Let's start with Kansas City, who's at the bottom there at 1-4. They've lost 4 in a row, starting with the Broncos in week 2. And then they lost Jamaal Charles this past week against the Bears for the season with an ACL tear. I mean, that's the most lingering loss about that game. So it'll be a struggle for them going forward. I'm sure Nile Davis will help out a little bit. Moving up, we have the San Diego Chargers at 2-3, lost on the last play of the game against the Steelers on Monday Night Football. Heartbreaking for them. They did get Antonio Gates back, and maybe moving forward, they get part of their offensive line back. Their first stringers have been out on the left side. So if they get some of those guys back, maybe they'll be in better position moving forward. Have to wait and see. And then a second is the Oakland Raiders, who were second the week before. Improving young team. It doesn't look like their defense is quite there yet, but they're in good position for the next couple of years.
Yeah, so much talent in the AFC West. Hard to imagine the Broncos already have a 3-game lead. Should be certainly interesting early in the season, but we'll see how things play out. But head coach Gary Kubiak knows that the Broncos are lucky to be 5-0.
I think in coaching, it's always, you know, you're always searching for perfection, and obviously we're far from it. We've got some tremendous things going on defensively, and we're battling offensively right now. But it's hard to win in this league, and I've been doing it long enough to know you better appreciate, you know, if you ever get to the point where winning's relief, you know, you're in the wrong business. So you bet. I wake up this morning, I know I got a lot of things I'm trying to get better, but I enjoy winning every time out.
It's fourth down, so let's punt things over to Scott Ward and our social media department.
Thanks, Phil. First question this week is from big friend of the program, Ben Watson. He is at Benjamin Bray. He wants to know, since Manning is so meticulous about his preparation, getting Wednesdays off, is that affecting his play? What do you think, Mace?
Well, Ben, I really don't think they are, quite frankly. And evidence for that, just look at 2013 when he set scores of NFL single-season records and did so despite not practicing on Wednesdays through most of the second half of the season because he was battling some ankle injuries at the time. So I don't think that's affecting him. I think there's a lot of other factors, but the sitting out Wednesday practices, don't think it's having an impact.
Great answer, Mace. Next question comes from Josh Bautista. He is at Josh B. Bautista. Did you notice the Blue Angels flying over the Coliseum immediately preceding Chris Harris's pick six? Swanee, what do you think?
Thanks for the question, Joshua. I guess the pilots didn't get the notice that that's the no-fly zone. But seriously, I didn't notice it. I was in the press box, so I didn't have that kind of on-field perspective. But the windows at Oakland's press box do open, so I thought I would have been able to hear something. I couldn't hear anything. I didn't notice it. But it looked like it was just a great play by Chris Harris and the defense getting the pressure, forcing maybe a misread by Derek Carr trying to force that pass in there. So I think maybe it was just a great play, and that's just a little bit of off-field commotion.
Swanee, that's a really good answer. No fly zone. Where'd you come up with that? All right, no real reason to watch the rest of the show, as usual. But, Phil, back to you.
Thank you very much, Scott. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Thank you to Andrew Mason, Ben Swanson, and Austin Brink behind the camera. I'm Phil Milani, and that's been 3 and Out.